Hi, Madge. It's Rob again. Every time I listen back to myself, I always take on this, like, retarded cadence and voice. I don't know why. I don't think I really talk like that in real life, but maybe I do. I was just listening to today's Scrum 1478, and where you're talking about, like, how much life sucks. And, you know, I've been in therapy for many years, like I assume probably a lot of us have been. And, you know, when they ask you, like, have you been having any suicidal thoughts or, you know, oh, hold on. Can you hear that? And then you're like, you have to make a decision where you're like, okay, if you really tell them how you feel, like, are they going to send you to a mental hospital or something like that, you know? Because, like, I tried to explain to her the other day, like, I think there's a difference between suicidal ideation and, like, wondering why the fuck do we even bother doing this? Like, I mean, what is the point of all this shit that we go through? Like, we're just, like, putting up with a lot of shit for no reason. Like, we're all gonna die anyway, so, like, if it sucks, then who cares? Or, like, even if it's amazing, like, who cares about that, too? Can you think about when you, like, before you were born? No, you can't. You don't give a shit about that. So why are we scared of death? I told her the other day, I said, you know what? Like, if I wasn't just, like, an anxiety-ridden chicken shit, I probably would have killed myself already. But the fear of, like, the pain or, like, what's going to happen, that's the only thing that keeps me from not killing myself. You know, you gotta be really cautious because, like, I don't know, you can't, unless you're, like, some happy motherfucker who just wants to live for 1,000 years, obviously you must go to a hospital where, like, then you'll come out with a $30,000 bill, you don't have a job anymore because you couldn't work for 2 weeks. Like, how the fuck is that supposed to help anybody? You know what I mean? We literally can't even talk about to our therapist how we actually feel because we have to worry about what they're feeling. Like, the voicemail cut me off. I guess it doesn't want to listen to me whine either. All right, well, talk to you later. Goodbye.
For a fact that I'm recording today. Madge here, lesbian of the internet, host of this program, which is Yeast Radio. I'm gonna be a little depressing today because my bicycle got stolen yesterday. I've had this bicycle for around 25 years. I rode it when I did my bicycle AIDS rides. I rode it from Minneapolis to Chicago. I rode it from Amsterdam to Paris. Schlepped it on a fucking plane. And I put thousands of training miles on it throughout the years. And I had it in storage. I hadn't even used it in probably 4 years. And then a few weeks ago, I started using it again just because it's so much faster than my regular, you know, hybrid bike, I guess you would call it, which is so slow and getting kind of clunky. I didn't really want to take it in to get tuned, so I lazily started using this other bike. And in retrospect, it was kind of stupid because, excuse me, I always was very careful. I never used to park that bike unattended, never ever. If I took that bike out, it was because I didn't need to leave it unattended. If I went to go eat something, I would put it in a, you know, visible place in some place in the suburbs while I went into Einstein's Bagels. That was the extent of it. Or with a group of people. And then wouldn't have to worry, you know. But I got lazy and I just started writing and locking and thinking, oh, you know, I have a good U-lock. And anyway, I was at my office yesterday in the Loop at a very busy intersection next to the Chicago River. And I came out to go to a picnic after work with my life partner. And it was gone. And that's like the worst feeling ever. You know, I felt so violated, like walls fall out violated. My bicycle was gone. And I just, you know, it's like at first my mind is just trying to figure out how can this not be? Like, maybe am I hallucinating? Where's my bike? And then my next thought was, well, maybe I parked it illegally and the cops took it away. But that didn't make sense because it was parked legally. And then I thought to myself, all the things I did wrong. I mean, I did lock it, but my lock was one of those, the highest kind of U-lock, but it had been kind of deteriorating, like the plastic was kind of janky, and I guess I just assumed that the plastic being janky wouldn't make the lock any more easy to break into, but maybe I was wrong. The strange thing was that there was no remnants of the lock left over. There was no there were no pieces of lock, which I didn't even notice until the detective from the Chicago Police Department asked me questions about it. And but they don't even, it's a very rare brand. They don't even make it anymore. It's from a small shop in a factory kind of thing. A one or two man shop in, I think, Minnesota or Wisconsin. And they stopped making this brand in 2000. It's Kroll, C-R-O-L-L. Very rare. So if anybody sees a Kroll bicycle that's kind of bluish purple, that's mine's. The police told me that I can call 911 if I see it, and then they'll go arrest them. That'll happen. So I'm glad that my $1.7 billion a year in police budget has been well spent, you know, protecting me from crime. And it was a busy intersection. Oh, it's just so sad when that happens. I hate that. It reminds me of when I lived in Amsterdam, and I don't know if it's still like that in Amsterdam, but when I was there, like, you can't, your bike gets stolen, period, and then you have to go buy a new one from the junkies. Well, it's not new. They just steal them from other people. It's just this weird economy where you give junkies money for their junk by letting them steal your bikes, even though you don't really let them, and then you buy another one the same day for, like, 20 Hanukkahs. Guilders. So, yes, I am depressing today. That's just how it is. It's about me. It's not about the world, you know. Sometimes that's just how it is. When life throws you a lemonade, you make vodka lemonade, I guess. Now, audience, I don't want you to get judgy on me, but after my bike was stolen, I had to get home, which left me, well, three choices. And this, I could have taken the an Uber, which is gross and also takes a while and also didn't feel like it. Or I could have walked, didn't feel like it, and too long and very hot, which left the CTA. And I didn't want to do that because it's disgusting and virus. But I did. And I have a very good N99 mask that I got from England's. I told you about it. But as soon as I got on that bus, I realized, I had a big realization, audience. And I realized why. I'm so glad there's loud trucks for you every goddamn fucking day. I realized why the COVID is still spreading increasingly, even though they closed the bars. Well, it was only a few days ago, so we're still reacting from the bars being open, so that's not fair. But those buses are fucking nasty. And that's a vector. I think you'd call it a vector. Because there's really, you can tell there's no air circulation. And they're dirty. They're filthy. And there's a lot of people in there. And yeah, everybody's wearing a mask, no exception. But, you know, people wear shitty masks, not like an N99 like mine. So the germs are still running around. And I mean, that was the first time I've taken the bus since pre-pandemic, at least 4 months for the first time. It's disgusting. So, you know, I understand that people have to take the bus to get to work for their essential jobs or whatever, but why can't the city do some, you know, they need to keep those things clean. I mean, just visibly, I could tell that they weren't clean. And also, why aren't they filtering the air? Like, put in some huge HEPA filters and it'll filter the air or something. Why the fuck not? Anyway. So, I'm not going to do that again. I'll get my other bike fixed, but I'm not taking the fucking CTA to work. No way. It's very depressing. I just feel so violated. I feel like I was raped to get my bicycle stolen. So fucking annoying. You know, because I have all these memories associated with it. And it was a very nice bike. And it's not something you can just go out and replace because you know, it was a custom frame, and over the years, I've replaced the different components in a kind of a geeky, gearheadish way, as a lesbian do. And it's just gone. It's very upsetting. I just hope that whoever stole it actually has use for it and just sell it to do drugs. I hope there was some kid who really needed a bike, you know, who just really wants to bike around and, you know, get exercise and maybe become a bicycle racist. I just hope it's not for some fucking drugs or some horrible person. You know, because then I can rationalize it like, oh, that was just a donation. Maybe it was somebody trans who needed money for their surgery. Oh, yeah, that would be fine. See? I guess I can just change my fiction, create a fiction, and then it's fine. But, you know, it's depressing, but the older I get, the faster I get over shit, because, you know, you have to look at it as a material possession that doesn't mean a whole lot. And even if it did, I wasn't really, I mean, if I'd been riding every day, you know, in the morning for 30 miles, taking advantage of the fact that it's a fast bike, that would be one thing, but, you know, I went to Evanston on it and almost died. At least I have an excuse not to do that anymore. So, maybe it's anarchist. Oh, but the other thing is, so I was listening to this guru. There's this guru, this 12-step guru, who I used to go to his house many years ago. I haven't been involved in the 12-step scene in at least 10 years. But I used to go to this guy's house, and he was one of those gurus. And he was so charming, so amazing, and just full of these interesting stories, and kind of famous in a little sort of eclectic way, I guess. And so me and somebody, won't say who, her initials might be TT, were looking for these recordings, and it was very hard to find because, you know, these circles are very kind of protected, I guess. Anonymous, if you will. And finally found a couple of these recordings, so I was listening to one from, I think, 1993. And he's dead. Did I mention that he's dead? And he was always kind of mean, like, oh, if you don't want to be sober, then get the hell out of here. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Stuff like that. Just, like, real kind of cunty and gay. So I was listening to this lead from 1993 of this man I hadn't heard in, you know, at least 10 years because he's dead. And then as I'm listening to it, I go outside and there's my bicycle missing. And I kind of felt like it was a fuck you from beyond. So there's a lot of layers to this, and so there's that. I'm not really a Sylvia Brown type. I don't really believe in beyond. I can't even say don't really. I just don't believe in that kind of nonsense. But in this case, I'll make an exception because it was very odd timing. Like, oh, there's this bitch yelling at me from beyond, and then my bike is gone. So, there's that. How much time have I been talking? Not really interested in talking too long. Politics. I don't really know what to say. I've just been so self-absorbed lately with my Oh, yeah, there's one more thing. It's not political either. I have to talk about politics. Some people say, Madge, stop being so self-centered. You need to talk about politics. Nobody cares about you. Well, that's true, but I do. And it's my show. Another thing you're going to be judgy about, our the gym that I belong to is right around the corner from my house. It's been closed for 4 months, just opened Monday. And there's a lot of controversy around it. A lot of the teachers, maybe even most of the teachers, didn't come back because of there's issues with racial discrimination and trans issues. And they say that they were claiming not enough has been done to protect against COVID and protect employees and that sort of thing. But I didn't really see the evidence for that, for either of those claims. But I did find... I hear the chickens. I did sign it, is what I'm saying. Here's, I'm going to feed the chickens. Cluck, 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 cluck. Only one so far. Come here, chickies. That's popcorn. Oh, she's eating... Popcorn's eating celery. Come here, popcorn. They have names. They list them on the thing. And, anyway, so the gym opened, and they... Because of limitations with Lori's Lightfoot and all that, they limit the group classes to, to 10 members per class, which is very little, obviously. Hi, chickens. And, oh, you have to wear a mask, and they have all these new things, you know, and they take your temperature when you go in. Masks, no exceptions. They even have this walk-in, like, disinfection machine, which looks like something from the Holocaust. So you walk in this thing, and then it like sprays you with disinfectant, and then of course have their plastic barriers, and you have to check in, and then you have to check out so that they can make sure they don't exceed the number of attendants, and they have HEPA filters throughout the place. So it looks, I mean, from my standpoint, they're doing everything that I would have asked for. My life partner and I went to the yoga class. You have to sign up within 24 hours in advance because there's only 10 people, so you have to reserve a slot. Even with that, there were only, and this was on the first day, there were only like 4 people in class, including us, plus the teacher. So everybody's terrified to go, but I went, I did the yoga in my N99 mask. And I survived. And you know what? I don't know. You can judge me and say, well, Madge, it's wrong of you to do that. But I'll tell you this. There's no way I could infect anyone else. So, with this, between my mask and all my precautions, you know, you could say, well, maybe somebody's going to spew some germs onto you. I find that highly unlikely, considering everybody's in masks. They force social distance and all these, you know, cleaning things. So... but even so, you know, I feel like I'm being responsible enough by only, you know, jizz. It's hard to talk and walk. I'm trying to talk. I don't like being honest. Yeah, that's my new thing. I have to be more honest with my audience because I find I have to be vulnerable because I watched RuPaul. Loud. I mean, you need to know more about me than the loud trucks annoying me, right? Oh, that was a garbage truck honking at someone. Not me, I hope. Anyway, I'm going to sit for just a minute, even though I'm late for work as usual. So I went, and it was wonderful, you know, just because my yoga practice at home has gotten terrible. It's just so hard for me to discipline myself in this small house with books and music everywhere and shit. And, you know, and then it's so easy to just get up when you don't feel like doing chair pose and all this sort of thing. So... it was really good. The mask didn't bother me at all, to be honest. It was annoying a little, but it didn't really affect my practice. You know, I just smell my bad breath and hear my breathing really loudly, but... I'm sure that you could argue that, well, maybe you have a germ if their air filtration isn't working right, that somehow I could get infected, but there's nobody getting... I can't possibly infect anyone as masked up as I was. And I had to do it, you know? I can't just... For me, myself, I had to go to yoga. And they took... a lot of precautions. I really feel like it's totally safe. I mean, this is a huge gym, very open, really high ceilings. There's plenty of space, and they say that they filter, bring the air in from the outside, and all this shit. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly was better than a CTA bus, and I felt better afterwards. So, you know, I needed to stretch. Why I have to explain it to you is because I know the kind of judgment that's out there. But at the same time, I'm not going to be dishonest with you, audience, and just tell you what I think you want to hear. And there's too much of that going around in cancel culture and in dongle culture. And by the way, dongle culture is something that I've coined because, mainly due to Apple, there's just too many dongles going around. You know, they have, like, they give you two ports, two USB... this is the whole thing I can complain about. They give you two USB-C ports, which are those little things on the new computers. That's how many ports I have. And then, to plug all your shit in it, you need all these other fucking dongles. They don't even give you an SD card slot for your memories thing, for your camera, in my case, my flash recorder. Two fucking USB slots. Dongle. And then, I've been looking at docks. There's no dock that suits my needs. There's just like... Okay, so USB-C has been out a long time ago. A long time now. So there's a lot of USB-C devices. So, and USB-C cables. So instead of giving me all these cables that have the old USB 3 rectangular doodle-hickeys, the one way, just give me USB-C, and if I need to adapt to that, I will. It's time. Move on. And very few of these docks... I can't believe I'm talking about docks right after COVID. But then just fucking... what am I doing? There's one dock that I like. It's CalDigit. It has two HDMI. Most of them, just about all the docks, they have mismatched display ports. So, like, one might have a display port, another one... It might have one display port, one HDMI, or one HDMI and one USB 3 that you're supposed to convert to a display. I just want two HDMIs or two display ports. Either way, just be consistent. So it's very... So the one that has that is this CalDigit Mini one. It has two display ports, like one or two USBs, and then an Ethernet port. But the problem is it doesn't supply power, so that means you need two cables. That bothers me. So... and the ones that have power are usually only have one display. Anyway, it's all fucked. I even tweeted at CalDigit, and there's a Belkin that does it all that I want. That's just like the one I just described from CalDigit, but does supply power. But then the reviews on Amazon are horrible. So I just want, like, here's what I want. I want, like, two HDMI or display ports. I don't know. I don't care. You pick what technology person who makes these. Definitely want a power supply to be able to power my MacBook Pro. SD card slot. And then I want four. Yes, four USB-C ports. I would say four Thunderbolt ports that can downshift to USB-C. I don't know if that's possible. I want plenty of ports. If you can't do that, then give me two Thunderbolt ports and two USB-C, or even more. But just, like, I don't... There are no, like, big breakout... Like, there's tons... If you look on Amazon, there's tons of breakout, or whatever you call it, hubs, that where they'll take, like, one USB normal, the rectangle kind, split it out into, like, even eight other ports. But there's nothing with USB-C that just gives you a ton of ports in USB-C. So we need to move on. Anyway, I'm going almost home. My bike was stolen. I'm going back to yoga. Bring on the hate. Thank you for all the contributions, audience. Especially Rob, who's been consistently sending me messages. And what else? I've been playing these Jack Benny records at the end because I think they're amazing. I think the history of radio is so important. But I haven't gotten one piece of feedback from it. Like, does anyone even care besides me? I'm still going to do it. I don't care. I think today's going to be side four, maybe? I don't even remember, but... you know, it'd be nice if people liked the weird shit that I like. I just think history of radio is fucking great. I grew up listening to... When I was in junior high school, I had no friends, so I would go to the cafeteria at lunch. I mean, the library at lunch, and listen to old radio programs. That's what I did for lunch. And I learned a lot about radio history, and it's... You would think that would be a bad memory because of what I was escaping, avoiding. but I just think it's great. There's such great culture there, and most people don't know about it, so I hope you enjoy that. And eat my ass. Bye, honey.
Abner, will you come over here and help me put this sign on the door?
Why, sure, Lon.
Just hold this nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
For quiet, homespun humor with a country flavor, I think you have to turn to Lum and Abner as the foremost example. In fact, I can't think of anything on television today that has captured this particular kind of format. The comedy was comfortable and funny.
Lum, suppose you hold a nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
You think I'm crazy?
Trouble here is we're suffering from an oversupply of whackers.
Have you ever seen me hit anybody on the thumb with a hammer?
Yes. Last summer when Opie Cates helped you put up the screens.
Oh, that was just a little tap.
Tap? You smacked that thumb so flat it looked like he's carrying around a pancake flipper.
Why, he didn't even holler.
He let out such a beller, all the fellas at the sawmill knocked off for lunch.
You stop exaggerating and hold that nail, Granny.
Lom, you couldn't hit that nail no matter if your whole life depended on it.
Oh, now, be quiet.
Huh?
Just
this is my page-flipping finger here, Lom. Be
careful. Just hold the nail in place. Okay, here goes. Now, how was that?
Not bad. Just aim it 2 more feet to the left, and I think you'll have it.
Yes, the trouble is the top of the nail is too small.
You couldn't drive that nail if I stuck it in between my teeth and let you hit me on the back of the head.
Don't give me any ideas. Now, just hold it in place. This time, I'll keep my eyes open.
Good. Think one of us ought to know what's going on.
You ready now?
Yeah.
Here it goes.
You idiot. Why don't you watch what you're doing?
Abner Peabody, I didn't even touch that hand.
I know you didn't. You got the one I had in my pocket.
One of the most nostalgic names in the American theater came to radio and leaped to success with the devilish character she created. Her career has been portrayed on Broadway in the smash musical Funny Girl. Who else but Fanny Brice as Baby Snooks?
I was just trying to help you, Dad.
Why must you torment me this way? Why can't you just leave me alone when I feel like playing the piano?
Because I want to play, too.
You don't know how to play.
I can lay.
Oh. Do you really mean that, Snooks?
Yes, Dad.
Because nothing would please me more. And if I teach you to play, will you practice faithfully every day?
Mm-hmm.
All right, darling. Sit here beside me. Who knows? You may turn out to be a child prodigy.
Who knows?
Now, before I give you the first lesson, suppose we try to find out just how much natural ability you have.
How?
Well, see if you can pick out a tune. Whatever music comes into your head.
All right. Bye, baby.
All right. We can forget the prodigy business right now.
Shall I play some more, Daddy?
No. Pay a little attention, Snooks. There are 7 major musical notes in the scale.
Where's the scale?
Right here. Now listen. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. See this note? That's A.
A what?
A nothing. A is just its name. Now what comes after A?
B.
And what comes after E?
F.
Good. What comes after G?
Whiz.
Snooks.
I was only fooling, Daddy.
All right. What comes after G?
H.
No. After G, you start all over again with A. Now. A. What note is this?
H.
No! Didn't you hear me singing it?
Well,
it's A.
Well, it sounded like A.
When the Longines Symphonette Society first suggested that we create this treasury of golden moments from radio, Mary Livingston and I spent many evenings reliving some of our own radio broadcasts. We came across this one I thought you might like.
All right, Mary, read me your mother's letter.
Okay. My darling daughter, Mary, just a note to let you know that we are all well. Although I must say that this being election year, your father and I have been having our usual political arguments. As you know, I'm a Republican and he's a Democrat. I wear a button that says I like Ike, and your father's been wearing a coonskin cap. He thought it was a coonskin till this morning when it had kittens.
No kidding.
Well, Mary, at last... I have some good news for you. We're finally getting rid of your Aunt Emily.
Well, it's about time. She's been living with your family as long as I can remember.
For the past 2 years, your Aunt Emily's been going with the local undertaker. And next Sunday, they're getting married. I'm glad when they get a home of their own. I'm tired of them coming in here every night with those secondhand flowers.
God.
Right now, she's wearing a ribbon in her hair that says, Rest in Peace. But even though he's an undertaker, he's very progressive, and he's the only one in town with a convertible hearse.
A convertible hearse? No!
No other news.
So your mother is a humdinger today.
No other news, so we'll close with love, Mama. P.S. Just as I was getting ready to seal this envelope, the postman came with your check for Mother's Day. Mary, this was very thoughtful of you. But how you could send me that much money on the salary Jack pays you, I'll never know.
Mary, how much did you send her?
$4.
Can you remember the day you bought your first automobile? I can remember driving mine home, for I had my friend Mel Blank with me. Mel and I still work together. And I still have the Maxwell. Isn't that amazing? Mel Blanc, the man of a thousand voice characterizations. And speaking of characters, there's still another graduate of radio around today. And I do mean around every Army, Navy, and Air Force base in the world. The old ski-nose himself, Bob Hope.
Thank you, fellas. No whistling. We'll have the place loaded with dogs. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, here we are at the Pasadena Army Service Forces Regional Hospital. That's an ambulatory phrase, meaning don't step out the back door, Joe. It's a 100-foot drop to the sewer. Yes, sir, I've done a couple of shows in hospitals recently. I feel so much safer when there's a doctor close by. And this is a wonderful spot for a hospital. When a battle fatigue case comes in and they can't calm them down and make them sleepy the usual way, they just give them a pass to go into Pasadena. Pasadena, that's a town where the curfew goes on at 12 noon. It's a great place to live. Pasadena is a very quiet town. In fact, every time a soldier takes a walk, the Chamber of Commerce appoints a man to follow behind him in oil his GI shoes. Somebody ought to oil my tongue for a while. And Pasadena is really a ritzy town. They're so fussy here, the mayor meets the Greyhound buses at the city limits with a can of flea powder. So ritzy, I put a nickel in the Pasadena jukebox to play one meatball, and it came out one caviar croquette. I saw one beautiful rich debutante here this afternoon, though. Boy, she was really loaded. She had money, too. But these soldiers aren't impressed with the local register here in Pasadena. When they go out with a girl, they don't care about who's who. They want to know what's what. This hospital used to be a hotel called the Vista del Arroyo. That's a Spanish term meaning, why, Sergeant, the young lady was just admiring my cast, and we got so engrossed, we must have strolled into Hollywood without knowing yet.
Bob,
Back around 1948, television was beginning to gain in stature. The stars were still the property of radio, but it was obvious a change was in the wind. Fred Allen was already making plans, and he revealed those plans on his show one evening when a gatecrasher joined him for a sequence that requires all of your imagination.
Benny was born ignorant, and he's been losing ground ever since. Benny was doing a monologue with a pig on the stage. The pig was there to eat up the stuff the audience threw at Benny. Why, some weeks he used two pigs. Benny is the only guy in New York who has to bounce his nickels for the manager before they let him in the automat. Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap joke. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And Fred, you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
Well, Fred... As long as I'm here in the studio...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Hmm.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Hmm. Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, let's try out my new show.
Here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And here is our first eager contestant. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cake.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one. I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who was the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the Sanitation Department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night... In your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, we are going to start right now to make you look like a king. Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
King.
Alan, this is a place. Where are my pants?
Benny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
Yeah.